An Anchorage jury has found Alaska Peacemakers militia leader Schaefer Cox guilty of conspiracy to murder government officials. The jury returned verdicts on 15 counts against Cox and his co-defendants Lonnie Vernon and Coleman Barney yesterday, but could not reach a decision on one additional count. Lonnie Vernon was also found guilty of conspiracy to murder government officials, while Cox was convicted of soliciting others into a murder plan. Federal prosecutor Steve Skoraki said he's pleased with the outcome of the trial.
We feel that the jury gave the evidence a very thorough and fair review. It's a complicated case. As the court said, they were spending a lot of time and a lot of attention throughout the case for 5-6 weeks. So we're satisfied with the verdict, yes.
Jurors could not reach a unanimous agreement on one count of conspiracy to murder government officials against Coleman Barney. U.S. District Court Judge Robert Bryan told those in the courtroom that he would declare a mistrial on that one count. Cox, Barney, and Vernon were found guilty on a number of weapons charges, such as possessing grenade launchers, silencers, and machine guns, but all three were found not guilty on possession of firearms on some of the counts.
It appears that the jury wasn't provided with sufficient evidence in their view to convict them on the use of a firearm in connection with some of these charges, and that's something that we really can't speculate about. But in terms of conspiring and sort of being the leader of what was going on with the case, they did seem to find that based on their verdicts.
After the verdicts were read, Cox blurted out, "The prosecution withheld evidence," but Judge Bryan then silenced him. Sentencing is set for late September. The Alaska Office of Children's Services grievance process fails to fairly and adequately respond to citizens' complaints. That's the finding of an 8-month investigation by the state ombudsman's office, which resulted in a 94-page report released yesterday. The report recommends a complete overhaul of OCS agency regulations governing grievances. Casey Kelly has more.
Alaska Ombudsman Linda Lord Jenkins says her office rarely initiates an investigation. Instead, it usually responds to specific complaints lodged against state agencies or employees. But Lord Jenkins says the number of complaints filed against the Office of Children's Services in recent years led the Ombudsman's office to take a closer look at the agency's grievance process.
In this case, we believed that there was a fatally flawed complaint system at Children's Services.
Lord Jenkins says her investigators spent 8 months talking to OCS employees and citizens who'd complained about the agency. They found inconsistent and erratic responses to grievances.
People would file grievances. They could prove to us that they had filed grievances, and they just never got responses, or the grievance was lost.
In her report, Lord Jenkins places blame on OCS regulations, which she says are just as confusing to department caseworkers as they are to citizens. A grievance filed with OCS can end up in one of two venues. In some instances, an administrative law judge will hear the case and present a decision to the Department of Health and Social Services Commissioner for action. In other cases, the facts are heard by a regional review panel, which can only issue non-binding recommendations. In either case, the OCS director isn't required to be notified.
So there were a lot of structural problems that just create other problems for individuals who are seeking to enforce their legal rights.
Lord Jenkins says part of the problem is that OCS and the Division of Juvenile Justice used to be under the same umbrella at the Department of Health and Social Services. While both remain part of DHS&S, the two agencies have been separate for about 10 years, but OCS still uses the same regulations. Lord Jenkins recommends severing ties between OCS and juvenile justice and completely rewriting regulations governing the OCS grievance process.
We have recommended that they make these regs as simple and clear as possible, that they not include one single word that isn't necessary, that they make them understandable so that all OCS employees understand them and are aware of them, and so that all citizens who might want to use the grievance process can understand them.
OCS Director Christy Lawton says agency employees were aware of the problems before the ombudsman's investigation. She hopes to have new grievance regulations in place by early next year and says the report provides a good starting point.
It's been an area that have struggled with and have known we needed to work on, but frankly just didn't have the staff time or resources. And so the depth to which they really went through it and mapped out all the regulations and even give us potentially, you know, language that we can use to draft new regulations, it was very helpful, and I anticipate that we will be using a lot of that.
The regulations in question are administrative and do not have to be approved by the legislature. However, they will be reviewed by the Department of Law and available for public comment before taking effect. OCS is the state's child protection agency, which can take custody of children if staff finds the parents are neglectful or abusive. The Ombudsman's Office is an independent state agency, though for funding purposes, it's considered part of the Alaska legislature. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And we have a copy of the Ombudsman's Report. You can check it out by going online to our website at ktoonews.org and clicking on the link for this story. The state is asking the Obama administration for waivers from the national standards set by the No Child Left Behind law. The act went into effect in 2001 and has drawn bipartisan criticism for demanding a one-size-fits-all standard for Alaskans. Fairbanks Democrat Bob Miller, who led an unsuccessful legislative effort to get relief from the standard, says it does not accommodate the state's geographic or economic diversity.
People from the rest of the lower 48, they may mean well, and it may be a nice plan on paper, but when you try to put it into practical application in Alaska, where you have a large city like Anchorage, and you also have a little rural village, there's no practical way that you can institute those same standards and those same criteria for teachers and so forth as you do in, let's say, Prince George's County, Maryland. It's just not doable.
The waiver application will be supported by new standards devised by Alaska and, if approved at the federal level, will mean individual schools will no longer be given a federal grade called annual yearly progress. Student proficiency targets and identification of schools that need improvement will be eliminated under the waivers. Alaska will also set up its own system for accountability that the U.S. Department of Education must accept as meeting the national quality principles. Education Commissioner Mike Hanley says the standards will change, not be reduced for Alaska, and is separate from the waivers.
We've been working on our standards for the last 2 years, and far long before waivers were ever discussed. So the timing is that they came together, you know, at the same time, but we didn't develop our standards so that we could apply for a waiver. We developed our standards to increase the bar for our children and to raise the expectations and help them be more successful.
Miller says he's not been able to yet check out those new standards in detail, but he's pleased to see work being done.
Just the fact that the new core standards are being designed in Alaska by Alaskans for Alaskan schools gives me hope.
Hanley says the waivers will allow more flexibility that will be felt in many schools quickly, but he says schools will still be accountable for education they provide. Instead of current standards that fail a school entirely if it does not meet any of the 31 federal requirements, the state system will be directed at the total quality of the educational package. Hanley says the formal application for the waivers with the federal government will be submitted by September 6.